burden, and I'm anxious to hear what I have to say tonight as well. So we'll figure that out as we go. No, I'm just kidding. But thank you all for being here, and those that are live streaming as well. I'm grateful to be able to be here. It's been quite the eventful couple of weeks, and the Lord has really impressed a message on my heart, and I wanted to share that with you. I really think about a lot lately, you know, the troubles that people are going through and how people's lives are changing dramatically and the effect that it has where they're at and the reliability that we have on Christ is so much more important, I think, in this day in which we live. Not that it's not in other days that have been, but it just seems like with everything transpiring in the world, just more and more I know, and the Lord shows us how important it is to have Him in our hearts and have Him in our lives. But I am thankful to be able to present what I have here for you tonight. And one of the things that led me to think about and to ponder and to start studying on this is the last couple weeks I've been graciously given a boat. And I am truly excited, like a little child, to be able to receive this boat as a gift. And it's really something that got me to think about, you know, this vessel that I have that I'm going to be the captain of, and, you know, all the things that go along with that. You know, just my imagination runs wild on this 14-foot aluminum boat. You know, I'm going to be a sea captain and all the cool things that go with that. Much more than that, I think really what I've been thinking about is the ability to be able to share time and to be able to do things and to engage with my boys, my family, in a different way, in a different manner. There's work that needs to be done, as always, by owning a boat, as you can imagine. A lot of people, and I have expressed it myself, that BOAT is the acronym for Bust Out Another Thousand. But this is not one of those situations. It's a very cost-effective marine piece of equipment, and will get us plenty of enjoyment in our lives. And part of that is being able to share time. And I think that part of that time is to bring it to where it's actually seaworthy. You know, not that I'm going to be going out on any sea, but we need to make sure that it floats. And so there's some things that need to be done and needs to be taken care of to be able to get it to that point. But I am truly grateful for that. And it really helps me be able to relieve my stresses. I love fishing. I've grown up fishing, and it's part of who I am and what I love to do. And to be able to share that with others, to teach people to fish, teach man to fish, he can feed himself. And that's one of the things that, you know, it comes with a desire to be able to serve and to know that a servitude to others with the Lord in mind is what truly blesses us in life. And I've grown to appreciate that more and more. I know that storms arrive in people's lives. I got a dear friend of mine that everybody's praying for is mourning the loss of his wife. And it was, you know, it is a time of troubled seas for him. And one of the things that got me to want to share some of those things in my heart tonight is this unfortunate situation that he has had experience. And, you know, I know that a lot of us have unfortunate experiences in our lives that we have to deal with, but reassure that God is there. Even though we have to do work, even though that we have to repair things, that we have to look within ourselves and make changes, that God brings us to those places that will give us that calmness that we need in our lives to be able to rely upon Him to increase our faith and to share our faith with others. And we've had plenty of opportunities to be able to do that. And you see the rewards, the fruit that is provided from that. And so, you know, that's the title of my sermon tonight, is that Jesus calms the storm. So when these things are going on in our lives and they transpire, that no matter where you're at, if you have the Lord in your heart and in your mind, He is the vessel that takes us to safety. He is that boat. He is that safety that we have. And so it reminded me of these verses here that I wanted to share and to elaborate on in the message that I have tonight. It's in Mark chapter 4, just a few verses here. I got a typo already, 25 through 41, but it's 35, so I'll make that correction. But 35 through 41, it says, "And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over into the other side. And when he had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him. And they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And we're going to talk about that. This situation that the disciples were in and with Jesus, and the fact that, you know, he's laying here and the sea's crashing over the boat and he's taking a siesta. He's having a nice little nap. And I wanted to talk about a little bit prior to that in the previous verses in this chapter. You know, Jesus was doing a lot of work. He was teaching. He was telling the crowds of people that were gathering to hear him about plenty of things. He was talking about the parable of the sower, the purpose of the parables, what they're all about, the meaning, the lamp under the basket, and the parable of the mustard seed are all entailed in this one chapter of Mark. And, you know, you think about it, it's summed up in one chapter, but that was probably a full day's work of talking and teaching and explaining and listening, answering questions. You know, these type of things, even just standing up here for an hour, sometimes it wears on you. It wears on your heart and on your mind because you're trying to express the message that is on your heart. And in Jesus's case, you know, he was doing this every single day from morning to sunset. And this is where he said, "Hey, let's get in the boat. Let's cross over the sea. And while we're going over the sea, I'll go ahead and take a nap to catch up on some sleep. So, you know, when we think that we're done with our work, you know, all of a sudden unexpected things tend to happen as well. And so I'm sure the disciples that were with him were like, "Oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be a nice night. We'll relax on the water. We'll rest on this boat, we'll look at the stars," and we just had an opportunity to be up at the ranch, and man, what a wonderful thing that is to be able to see all the stars at night with no light pollution that interrupts that visibility that you have. And I'm sure they were all relaxed and ready to go, and you know, just a night on the water is a very relaxing and calming thing. And then what happens? There's this big storm that happens. And so I kind of want to set it into perspective. And, you know, I like Gordon, you know, his message this morning. And he showed a map. And I was wanting to do the same. And so I have here with my cool little digital pointer that I really like. Right up here, I did a Google Earth map search for the Sea of Galilee, so it actually kind of highlighted it up there. There's Nazareth, and Jerusalem is right there. And so it's one of the northern seas, and it actually is, what does it say here? 64.4 square miles at its fullest, and its maximum depth is 141 feet, and it is fed by the by underground springs, but its main source is the Jordan River. So the Jordan River is what truly feeds this lake. And it is the largest freshwater lake in Israel. And to put it into perspective, the 64 square miles is approximately the size of Washington, D.C. So if you could kind of put that into context of how big it is there. It's 680 feet below sea level. And so to put that into perspective, I think here in Phoenix, we're like 1,302 feet above sea level. So it's pretty low. So the temperatures there, I'm sure, are pretty similar to what we deal with here. So the sea is known by many names and is referred to by Israelis as the Kinneret, which is in Hebrew for violin, considering that the shape of the lake is similar to that of a violin. So one of the things that is pretty interesting about this little lake is that it can get really rough on the lake. They can have winds up to 60 miles an hour on the lake, and they can actually have waves up to 10 feet. 10-foot waves are huge. I don't know how many people have experienced that, but if you go like to San Diego and you're playing in the water on the ocean there, the Pacific Ocean on the shore, you know, waves are probably 3-4 feet on average. And if there's a storm, they could probably get up to 10 feet. But a 10-foot wave on this type of body of water is very significant, because in these small bodies of water, they could be extremely rough and violent. There's really a lot of times no rhythm to them. One of the things that growing up fishing in Wisconsin is that they say that because it's an inland body of water, that there's actually a lot of churning that goes on. And so there's really it's difficult to navigate during a time of storm, because there's no frequency to the waves at times. You can have waves coming in many different directions, and they collide into themselves, and it becomes very turbulent. So very unpredictable, you know, just like life at times is very unpredictable. So, you know, these gentlemen were going out, and they were thinking they were going to have a nice evening on the water, and then a great storm arises. And so this is a famous picture here that I took off the internet. This is the Rembrandt of depiction of this journey that they were taking with Jesus across the Sea of Galilee. And you know, when this storm arises, there's all the things that start to happen that come with that, mentally and physically as well. And so, you know, in the verse where it says, "And there rose great storm wind, and that the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." You know, having a ship full of water is potentially a very unpleasant thing to probably be a part of and to experience. And it can cause you to think that your life is in serious jeopardy at the time. One of the things here is that with Christ being with them, you know, there's that feeling of protection that you get, that in these cases, to where, you know, it's a matter of faith. You know, is it something that puts us in a position to where we actually are on trial with our faith at the time? You know, if we have Christ in our lives, if we know the position that we're in, and it seems like it's imminent that the waters are going to swallow us up, and that we're going to come to our demise in the middle of this vast body of water, you know, is that something that we know that having Christ with us gives us this protection, that he's going to be there to get us through, to help us, to protect us? And we should have that confidence in knowing that Christ is our rescue ship. He's capable of giving us a special protection that a typical life cannot give without servitude to the Lord and giving our hearts over to him. He thinks about those that are with him in this situation, even though he's asleep. I reassure you that everything is in control. Those people that are with him are upon his heart, they're in his thoughts, and even when he is resting, he's thinking about those that are with him. And it talks about the little ships that are with him as well. And I'm sure that those individuals that were in the ships following along were fully devoted to travel along with Christ because of how his word, how his message, how his love touched those people. They saw miracles. They got to witness him in person, and what an impact that had for them to be able to go out there. And the storm rises, and you know Jesus is there to take care of them. It's something that we should desire, that wherever we go, that Jesus is with us. Whether or not we think he's there, that he's not thinking of us, that he's not apparent, he is. He loves all of his children, and he proves it in our lives. And those that think of him day in, day out, that wake up and pray to him, those that fall into these diverse temptations and these trials and these turbulent waters in their lives that put their faith in him, see in Christ, the proof in Christ, and how he shows his people that he truly cares for them. He's that vessel that takes us where we are trying to go, across the waters to the safe shores. And so, you know, Christ proves himself. Psalms 121, it says, "My help cometh from the Lord, which had made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper." You know, this is even written. This is written for us to know that even if Christ is resting, we're still in his forethoughts. You know, these gentlemen, the disciples that were with him on the boat, they were a little bit stressed out. And I think a lot of us can relate about being stressed out with life. And, you know, one of the things they cried out to him is, "Hey, Master, carest that not that we perish?" You know, this is something that in the presence of Christ could be pretty concerning of how you're approaching the Lord and knowing that he has all power and capability to do whatever it is he desires to do. We, as his children, should know that he gives us the ability to reach out to him no matter where we're at, and that he can control the situation. You know, Christ does care about each and every one of us. Those that are baptized, those that aren't baptized, those that have fallen away, those that call upon him every day. Christ is there, and he listens. And even though at times we feel that we're alone and that he's not in our presence, he hears us. He hears us. And a lot of times, so I was studying on this, and an interesting thought is that Christ was trying their faith at that time. Was he? Was he trying their faith? Like, I know that a lot of us, when we were kids, used to fake sleep. I tend to do that at times still when my family comes home, and I'll be on the couch and I'll fake sleep. You know, I'm sure Jesus wasn't doing this at that time, but that's what it kind of reminds me of. You know, is he just kind of waiting and patiently seeing what the response is of his children? And I think he does that in our lives as well. So how do we appear, you know, when Christ is, you know, "Hey, let's see what Gary is doing, going to do in this situation, you know? Is his heart going to rely upon me, or is he going to go his own way and try to bail himself out? Is he going to try to do those things in his own fashion, or is he going to understand that the way that he's designed things, that he's fashioned things, that is the path to take? That is what's going to keep the ship sailing in the right direction. So we can't appear to put ourselves through pride in a position to where we rely upon ourselves and to pose a power of you know, I can understand what's going on and have the complete ability to do so without Christ. You know, I jokingly said that I'm going to be the captain of my ship. But I know that in life, letting God, letting Christ lead in humbly following after him and letting him navigate where we go is the proper manner about going and doing things. So, you know, it's important that we have that confidence in Christ and knowing that even if he's there, that in the waves are crashing in, the boat is tanking on water, that he's there for us and he puts things in place to be able to take care of us. That's a confidence that we learn through our experiences, whether good or bad. And in the good, we should give God the glory as well, not to consider that our good fortunes are derived because of just who we are and what this world should provide to us because of our hard work. We should give glory to God for the hard work that we put into things, because when we put hard work into our lives through a manner of meekness and humility, you know, to provide fruit for Christ, those are the things that give us the true reward, the confidence into being able to overcome. But, you know, in this situation where these disciples are kind of calling out Christ, like, hey, what are you going to do here? You know, you need to help us. Like I said, Christ has things that he put in place, and he has power to do things. And I wanted to share in Moroni chapter 7, verses 29 through 33, because it's not just Christ himself. He has people, workers, angels that do things for him too. And he performs miracles, and our miracles are based off of our faith. And so chapter 7 of Moroni, 29 through 33, it says, "Hath miracle ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay. Neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men, for behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command." This is Christ, "showing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance and to fulfill and do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare a way among the children of men, by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And by doing so, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof." And so, you know, these things are set in place. God has structured his design is for us to always increase in faith and to always be faithful in him, and to understand that where we're at in our life, and no matter how difficult it can be, no matter how hard we're struggling, that he will prove his love to us through our faith. And it's a special thing that God has designed for his children to know, to feel, to understand that he has given his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to us to be able to help us get through these things. And he doesn't forget none. And Matthew 18, 11 through 14 says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them have gone astray, doth he not have 99? And goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray. And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than it of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish." Each and every one of us, no matter where we're at in life, if we've gone astray, Christ knows us. He knows where we're at. He knows what we're tending to and what we're doing. He knows our thoughts. He knows what our frustrations are. He knows the avenues in which we must seek to be able to get to a place to where there's a calmness in our life, to where it brings peace in our life. We just have to be willing to see and to let the Lord navigate us in that direction. So the Lord is, Psalms 93, the Lord is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. And we just recently had a hurricane go through, two hurricanes go through Florida and North Carolina, Georgia, all through there, parts of Tennessee. And, you know, one of the things I was listening to on the radio was the 92.3 KTAR. They had a friend that was in Tampa Bay, Florida, and they were talking to him during the hurricane. And one of the things that was really interesting is this gentleman was sitting inside of his house during the hurricanes, and the winds were at 80 miles an hour at that time where he was at in his location in Tampa. And he had hurricane-proof windows. So I don't know how much more durable those are than a dual-pane window, but he had hurricane-proof windows. First time I ever heard of that. And as they were talking to him on the phone, it sounded like, with the rain and the wind, sounded like a train was consistently just driving by his house. And it was a very obnoxious and just a disturbing sound that wasn't going away. It could strike the fear in any man of the power of destruction that those storms had, those hurricanes had. And it was really interesting to be able to hear that. I never heard anything like that. And that was through the radio, through a cell phone. And you could just hear the power behind that. But the power of God that has created all things has the power to calm those things as well. And so what did Jesus do? He arose and he rebuked the wind. And he said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So that was verse 39. So Psalms 93, verse 39 in chapter 4 of Mark. And, you know, it's important that we understand that in these rough waters, troubled seas that we go in through, it can cause a lot of things within us. You know, this can lead to sin, wickedness. It can lead to us being led astray from the Lord. But it's these troubled seas that the world puts in place and that we need, that we experience and need to call on God to help us be able to get through. And you know, when the Lord silences things, I think that's one of the first things that we need to understand is that he has the ability and the power to silence things, to cause things to be still. And when our minds are going a million miles an hour, you know, this is when we call upon the Lord and he helps us be able to see the calmness that he gives. We recently spent quite a bit of time up in the forest and it was beautiful. And like it was quiet and we got to look at night at the stars and the full moon and listen to the wind go through the trees. It was just, it's quite the experience when every day you're working in the busyness of life. And one of the things when I came back and went from that environment back to the environment that I deal with that I'll be going to tomorrow, it was really interesting because I was experiencing uncertainty of how to deal with all of it, like in a way that, like, you know, I can handle this. I just got to take it, you know, 1 hour at a time, figure out the priorities, catch up on my emails, on and on, answer the phone calls, figure out, you know, what happened while I was gone, and start putting out the fires and figuring out and lining up the week. And it was interesting because Alicia said, hey, how you doing? And I said, well, you know, it's quite a shock when you go from a beautiful environment that God created, when you get to listen to the wind, you get to walk through the mountains, you get to be at peace, to the reality that we deal with. And I think a lot of times we get callous to those things in this world that are just every day in our lives, and we miss out on those things that of beauty that God created, that God gives. And the peace that you feel, the difference just emotionally, going from complete relaxation and gratefulness of what God gives you in His creation, and seeing the beauty and having peace and sitting on a mountaintop eating an apple, and then coming back to behind a desk, two computers or monitors and phones ringing and people coming in your office. What a opposite side of the spectrum we deal with day by day. So I'd encourage you, you know, when these things are happening in your life, you know, when you get these opportunities, seek the Lord. When you're stirred up inside, seek the Lord and ask Him to help you to find that stillness that He can give. And that's one of the things, is no matter our environment where we're at, we can get that peace. God, Christ, can give us that peace in our lives. It's there for us for the taking. And I don't know why this laser keeps popping up. It's the craziest thing. But, you know, it's one of those things that He brings a quietness in our lives that I am just so grateful for. And it helps us be able to share the goodness that God gives. And it helps us be able to prove that God is, and God is in our lives, and that God does love us. You know, that God can do these things. He can calm the waters. He can come calm the troubled seas. Jeremiah 31:35 says, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts is His name." God created these things. God wants us to be able to experience His power, His might, His capability, to have confidence in that, to understand that He has power beyond what we can imagine to help us in our lives, because He loves us, even when we go astray, even when our hearts go in a million miles an hour and our minds are thinking of all these troubled times that we live in. A lot of times it's one thing after another, and we can really lose track of who is important to help us be able to get through that, and start being frustrated and pointing blame and causing shame. And none of those things are providing fruit for the Lord. We need to relax and understand that He has the capability to give us clarity of thought and get through things through His grace. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." You know, and the disciples are there. They are in question of where their faith is at. And by that, they're asking Jesus, "Hey, what are you going to do here?" When they know that He is right there and they're with Him. That's the important thing in our lives. Know that He is right there with you, even though you don't see Him, and that you can be with Him. And having that level of security, safety, and comfort in your life is so reassuring that whatever life deals to you, you can overcome it in confidence. Proverbs 14, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge." And, you know, Christ said in verse 40 and 41, and He said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of a man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And so, you know, this reproof that Christ was given to them, you know, it kind of like, it's interesting to be able to see the dynamics of that, because as I was thinking about it, you know, at first they're questioning Christ, and then Christ is questioning them, and then they're questioning themselves. Like, what in the world? And it's interesting because their fear goes from the conditions that weather is putting on them. Their fear goes from that to where once that's calm, is their fear goes to the Lord in reverence, because he is all powerful. He's proving to them that, hey, I'm taking care of you. And so it's that good fear that people should have in the Lord, that, you know, to be in awe of what the Lord can do is something that helps us be humble in our lives, helps us be able to see that, you know, there's a power beyond what we can do that a lot of times we don't understand. And God is there to prove that to us, to show that to us. And so, you know, that prevails over everything. You know, everything that our thoughts and what we conjure up in our minds about whatever situation it may be that we put ourselves through, or that befalls on us, that reaching out to God and finding proof in our lives, our personal lives with him, show us that, number one, he truly loves us. Number two, he's all powerful, and that he has capability, number three, in everything to help us be able to overcome. And so, you know, this is one of those things that in our lives, when we experience things, you know, it's something that we rejoice in. It's something that we find comfort and peace and a desire to be in with him in our presence. It's his spirit. It's a desire to have his spirit with us. And that's, Christ has given us that vessel for us to be able to navigate through all the difficult waters that we have to through this life. And so this is a situation where, you know, now that Christ has proven this to them, hey, you know, it only empowers them more through their faith to serve him, to have that servitude to him. And it's one of those things that this calmness and this grace that the Lord gives, that is truly a goodness and a gift that this life can have, but this world cannot give. And there should be a satisfaction in that. We should find satisfaction in knowing that Christ is there for us, and truly giving him the honor and glory for the capabilities that he has for helping us be able to stay afloat and to go in the right direction. And so I had this opportunity to be able to go to a concert with my family and my brother and sister-in-law's family and friends, and it was really very enjoyable. And a lot, one of the songs had stuck in my head for quite some time because of that concert, and I looked up the words, and it's Rain Collective is the name of the group. And it's kind of funny because my Alicia was laughing at me. She's like, wasn't like the last concert you ever went to was you when you were a young guy and you went to Metallica, and now you're here. And I was like, yeah, that's true, you know. And it was very enjoyable. And you know, what a transition in life, you know, to be able to look back at that and to see I was here and now I'm here, and it's because of Christ. And the song that I kind of go around, I don't know the words, and I'm not going to make up. I actually put the words on here because the words mean a lot. And I sing songs a lot at home, but they don't correlate with the lyrics that they're supposed to be. So My family gets quite the kick out of that. But it's the song My Lighthouse. And it says, in my wrestling and in my doubts and my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. And it also says, you won't let go in the questions. Your truth will hold. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace of my troubled sea. And then it sings the chorus there, my lighthouse. Shining in the darkness, I will follow you. I will trust the promise, and you will carry me safe to shore. And so these last verses here is, I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning, I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace of my troubled sea. You are the peace of my troubled sea. And so, you know, I know that music does have an impact on people's hearts. And it's interesting because, you know, a lot of the music that you listen to on the radio, depending on what station you're listening to, I listen to it and it stirs you up. Like, it really... music is powerful, and it can stir you up in a good way or in a negative way, to where in a negative way, people tend to find power in that, and it's a negative type of power, to where music like this really has, I believe, an everlasting impact on you, because it's directly related to what we're taught and the goodness in that. And those things that the folks that created this music put on paper for us to be able to enjoy were influenced by God. And it's really enjoyable to see people proclaim through music what God has done to them. Because I think in a lot of things that, this is an Irish band, correct, Adam? Yeah. Yeah, it's an Irish band, basically the other side of the planet, and here they are. It was actually really funny because it was hot out that night, and they were cracking jokes about the heat, and they couldn't understand how we weren't melting at the time, and or something like that. It was really pretty comical because they come from a beautiful green place and are here in the desert on the other side of the world, but they have people that appreciate them because... you know, this message that is brought throughout the world, influenced by God, is important. It's important to us. This is what our brothers do. This is where Gordon just came from, was basically the other side of the planet, thousands of miles away, to share the gospel. And each and every one of us have a way to do that. And I would implore that you continue to do that, whether you do it through media, social media, however technology allows us to do it. And it's interesting how things from so far away can impact you, things that you don't see. And just like God in our lives, who at times may seem so far away, is directly impacting you when you reach out to them, and so to him. And so make sure that's a priority in your life. Make sure that your fear in the Lord is building strong confidence in you, because he has a power that we can't understand. And through that, we can have confidence in knowing that we're being taken care of and that the Lord will see us through. So I thank you for your time, and I think that was the last slide. Yes, that was, I had a lighthouse, but it's okay. I don't know where it went. I must have not saved it. So thank you, and God bless each and every one of you. I hope that you received a little something from this message tonight.